Thank you. joy at the work of your hands forever. Amen. Amen. All God's people said. Amen. Put your hands together. Praise the Lord this morning. Give him a hand. Praise the Lord. All right. Children's church is dismissed. Chapter 1. Actually, Joseph, there's another slide. Let's see if we locate it. We're in Romans chapter 1. We're actually going to just look at one verse. Verse 16. Oh, here it is. Chapter 1, verse 16. We'll start off. Go ahead and read it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Ask, Lord God, that you would speak through this verse. Obviously, Lord, there's a number of verses we're going to touch on in the Word of God. As we really focus on what this means for us today, we ask, God, that you would apply it by your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that for those of us who know you, who've received the gospel of Jesus Christ, who've received Christ as our Savior, Lord, that you would remind us that we ought to be bold with it. We ought to stand unashamed on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So renew a boldness, renew a confidence in the gospel. And Lord, we pray that maybe there's some here that don't know you. We pray that they would experience the power of the gospel by believing in it. Pray, God, that you would aliven a faith in their hearts and that they would come to believe Jesus Christ as their Savior, you as their God today. And so, Lord, just speak to us. And we thank you that this is for everyone, according to this verse. And thank you that there's not one person that this message isn't for. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, and may your word not fall on deaf ears. May it get into our hearts, and may it have, and it does, and that it would have the power of God to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you've been with us in the book of Romans, this is, we're just, this verse and then the next verse really is the theme verses of the whole book of Romans. So in these two verses, we're just considering verse 16 today, but in these two verses really contain all of the aspects of what is in what the book of Romans is about. But I think as we consider what Paul is saying, I think it's important to consider it where Paul's at this point in his ministry. In other words, some of the things that have already occurred in his ministry and in his life before he writes or makes this bold statement. Okay, so at this point, he had already endured much hardship and pain and loss. He'd been rejected by his own people. The Jewish people. He'd been criticized, ridiculed, mocked, a number of things. We'll look at some scripture in a moment. A year earlier, he wrote to the church in Corinth describing his experiences as a minister of the gospel. And so this is some of the, well, these verses are out of 2 Corinthians, beginning with chapter 1. Again, this is providing some context for this man who said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he said in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, verse 8 and 9, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Later on, chapter 4, same book. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Chapter 7. We were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside, means in his heart, were fears. Chapter 11, starting with verse 24. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then chapter 12. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know about you, but you sometimes try to get the message that when a number of things are just not working out, it's time to change. Try to do something different, right? I mean, if you keep pressing on in this one direction and you keep banging your head against a wall and this problem happens and that problem happens, isn't that about the time when we say, you know what? I think I missed the memo, right? I think I need to pick something else to do, right? I need to do something a different way because this isn't working, right? But in spite of all of these difficulties, Paul declares, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, he had plenty of reasons to be ashamed, if you will. All of those experiences would cause one to be ashamed of the message that they boldly stood up on and declared and were willing to go through all kinds of problems, all kinds of trials and difficulties, and still stand on this word. Right? And plenty of reasons. Gospel was the reason why he experienced all this adversity. It was the gospel that got him into such trouble. It was the gospel that got him into such straits. It was the gospel that got him behind bars and in chains. And when he was beaten and whipped and all, it was the gospel. It's the gospel. It's because of the gospel why he was so hated by the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Says we are fools for Christ's sake. And that's just a challenge in itself. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ's sake? To the present hour, he says, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. And yet, he is unashamed of the gospel. He's not, for all these things, all these really embarrassing, humiliating things, Paul is not embarrassed by the gospel. He's not humiliated because of the gospel. He's not disgraced by the gospel. No matter what people think, no matter what happens to him as a result of opening his mouth and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, no matter how much of a fool he looks like in the eyes of the world, he says, I am unashamed. There was nothing in all that he endured that caused him to question this purpose or to cause him to shrink from his calling or to cause him to retreat from his mission. You know, nothing caused him to rebrand his message, to make it easier to make friends, to be a little more palatable, to be a little more acceptable, to appear to be a little more tolerant. He didn't take the message and try to refine it so that he would avoid getting flogged and beaten and thrown in jail and mocked and belittled and called a fool, right? I mean, those were, you know, none of us want to be fools in the eyes of the world. Certainly none of us want that description to be the offscouring of all things. And yet Paul says, I'm not ashamed when the world calls me that. When the world calls me that, I think I'm on the right track. You know, one of the things I think what we do is we want to be faithful. And I'm speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ here. We want to be faithful with the gospel. We want to be faithful with the word of God. And we do want friends and family, neighbors, co-workers to come to Christ. We do want them to be saved. But somehow we want to be able to communicate the word of God so that we're still their friends. I'm not saying that we should be jerks to give them a reason. What I'm saying, though, is for the sake of not wanting to be offensive, we water down the message and we remove the teeth from the message, because the gospel has teeth. It bites as well as blesses. And so we want to somehow, how do we keep this door open so we don't want to say what they're doing is actually maybe wrong in God's eyes? And maybe something that God's going to judge. Right? And so what we do is we temper down the gospel. You know what it really means? It means that we're ashamed of it. I remember when I I had come to Christ when I was 17, and I've shared that testimony with you before. When I returned, and I've shared, you know, how I couldn't keep it to myself. You know, I mean, like I was very, you know, packed my little Bible to school, to high school, and I was a senior at that point, and I shared with my parents what had happened to me. But I had some friends that I connected with and enjoyed spending time with. Friends from high school, and there was a particular time that we were going to go and over the course of a weekend and spend some time on a houseboat or a boat, but we were going to stay on the boat for the weekend. Well, they were unbelieving friends, and so they had alcohol with them, and so I was in a dilemma, because I knew that that's not something that I could do and participate. But I didn't want to appear different from them. And so what I did was, while they were drinking and getting drunk, I acted like I was drinking and getting drunk. So I looked and appeared like I was drunk, just like they did. Right? Now, again, I didn't drink a drop. Now, who was the fool? Yeah, I didn't drink a drop. You know, I knew that. Nope, that's the line I'm not crossing. I can't do that. I can't participate in that. But I didn't want to appear different. And so, without realizing, I was a believer for a couple of months at that point, and I it didn't feel right. But I didn't, you know, in my little brain, I didn't know what to do, and I just went along and appeared like I was one of them. I was ashamed of the gospel. Didn't realize that that's what it was, but I was ashamed of the gospel. I was ashamed of being identified as someone who is different than them. I didn't want to ruin the party. Didn't want to throw a wet blanket on the festivities. Sorry, I can't do that. So I looked like I was doing it and looking just like them. How foolish. How foolish. In some ways, don't we still kind of do that sometimes? We don't want to look too different. If Paul didn't look different, then all of those things might not have happened to him. But the gospel shaped him and made him who he was, so that there was no way he was not going to be different than everybody else. The gospel had such an impact upon Paul that it didn't matter what others thought about him or his message. Didn't mean that there wasn't an element of care about that. He says, I will be all things to all people that I might win some. He did care what they thought on the level of the gospel. Yes, you and I aren't to throw care to the wind. We're to, with the Spirit, consider how am I supposed to be in this particular situation so that I can be your witness and so that a door can be open and I can walk through it and show that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But to demonstrate that the gospel is winsome and there's an appeal to the soul in the gospel. And I want to appeal to the soul. So Paul was unashamed to be identified with the gospel. You know, we can do that sometimes with our children. Right? You know, we're in public. Isn't that one of the fears of a parent? Is your children embarrassing you in public? Maybe is that just me? Okay, my kids have, you know, my son's laying his head down. Please don't talk to him. Please don't say anything embarrassing about me in this moment. Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to pick on any particular. But just in general, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter if they lost a limb, just quiet down. Don't draw attention. We'll get you. We'll figure out what to do about that finger. Just quiet. You know, we don't want to draw attention. Don't embarrass me. Some of you know Tom, our friend Tom. He's down in Colorado right now taking pictures. He's been gone for a while, so some of you guys will have missed him. Tom's one of those guys that, now he's gotten a little better, but back in the day, be prepared to be embarrassed in public. Tom would make a scene. At our wedding, you know, he's one of the in the bridal party. I mean, and the guy perfected the art of acting like a chicken. Dancing like really, you have to see it to really believe it. This is kind of funny. So we're at a restaurant. And I leave, I pay my bill, I'm leaving, I'm waiting for Tom. And all of a sudden, I see people running from the restaurant, scattered, running into their cars. Because right behind them is Tom, and he's acting like a chicken, and he's chasing them to their cars. He's not like that anymore. Partly because his body isn't capable of doing that anymore. I don't know him. And sometimes we can treat Jesus like a tar baby. I don't know if I want to be associated. Or have you been around a boisterous believer who's very open about their faith? I remember hearing a testimony from my pastor back out in Pennsylvania. He shared how there was a visiting pastor, and they were together in line, getting ready to order food. And the visiting pastor asks out loud to my pastor, and he says, so tell me how to get saved. Nice and loud out for everybody to hear. Call them on the spot right there and all the attention, you know. You got friends that are open and boisterous, but sometimes we're like, can we just tone it down a little bit? God help us to not tone it down. God help us to not be ashamed. God help us to not be timid. God help us to not hold back the very message that those people that were afraid of embarrassing, to be embarrassed by, need to hear. We can, listen, we are so reserved in our culture and among us, we are so reserved, we can afford a little embarrassment for the sake of the gospel. We can afford a little humiliation. That can't be the most important thing. We have a Savior that hung naked on a cross. There's no more humiliating, embarrassing position to be in for the whole world to see. So Jesus went through utter humiliation, embarrassment, and disgrace that you and I would be saved by just believing in that and what he was doing for us. We say, oh God, please don't put me in a position like that. And Paul says, I am unashamed of that. I will identify with that to my dying day. I will live for that. And if it means the world thinks me a fool, then so be it. We can afford a little embarrassment for the gospel of Jesus Christ that some might be won. Amen?
Amen.
And why is this so? Because Paul was so gripped by what Christ had done for him that he could live no other way. How can you be embarrassed by the man who saved your life? Why it says it in Paul's last letter, getting ready for martyrdom. He's going to lose his head under Nero at the time. And he says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Unashamed to the chopping block, knowing that this, what he's standing on, this is the truth. And if you know what the truth is, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it, you know it's true. Maybe the prayer for some of us is, God, help it to be that true to me. Help me to believe it like that. So, Paul is not ashamed because he believes in what the gospel is. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? Say it like you mean it. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You see, the gospel of Christ is the demonstration of God's power in the salvation of the soul. You see, Paul is convinced that the gospel is true because he has been completely transformed by it. His own life is a witness to the demonstration of the power of God. All he has to do is look in the mirror because he knows what he was before. He knows what he is now. And nobody could deny that. And by the way, the enemy wants you to deny or doubt the work that God has done in you. And the enemy's really good about that, doing that. Because he knows it's the power of God. And so if he can get you and I to doubt that it's the power of God, then we might be a little ashamed about it. Might keep our lips silent about it. You see, Paul, who had given his life completely to the destruction of the church, is now, at this point in our scripture, is now laying his very life down for the sake of the church. That's a 180. He was going in one direction, now he's going in the exact opposite direction. That is the power of God unto salvation. He thought he was the most righteous man on the planet, Now he's the chief of sinners. Unworthy to be called and appointed by God because he persecuted the church. He knows who he is. He knows what he's done. And you know where real righteousness is? Only in Jesus Christ. He had every privilege, every advantage, every benefit, every comfort, every honor and accolade that a Jewish man could ever possess. And he gave it all up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the power of God in action. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can take a man committed to one way of life and completely change him to be committed to the exact opposite way of life. Only the power of the gospel can have such a radical effect upon a man to the extent where he gives up everything that others might be saved. You know, the word in the Greek, dunamis, for power, dunamis, it means the ability to do. It can mean force, might, strength. We get the word dynamite, right? So it speaks of explosive power. It's from a word that means to make possible. And I think that's really important. Because what the gospel does is makes possible what otherwise is impossible. And what is impossible is you to be saved. It is impossible for you and I to be saved and forgiven of our sins. It's impossible. We are helpless before a holy God. We stand judged and condemned before a holy God. Impossible to change our situation. You can't decide right now that from where you can't contend with everything that you have been and done up to this point. There's nothing that you and I can do. It's impossible. So if you've come here this morning with an idea that maybe I wonder if I can gain or earn God's favor by attending church this morning. Going to church doesn't get you saved. Going to church has no power to get you saved. Okay? What if I quit that habit? It's a good thing. Go ahead and quit that habit, but that won't save you. The gospel doesn't require us to get our act together and clean up our mess before we come. The gospel is an invitation for you as you are. To come as you are. Because you have no power to change who you are. Only God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith in that has the power to change you. Any Trekkies in the room? You know what I'm talking about? Got a few into Star Trek. Yeah. All right, sorry, I didn't know. There's a few Star Trek. Who has heard about Star Trek before? I know what Star Trek is. Oh. Right, am I doing it right? Okay, got it right. Star Trek. Yeah, I love the episodes when you get Captain Kirk. He's talking to Scotty, who's in the engine room. Scotty, we need more power. Scotty, we need more power now. And Scotty, I love. I can't. What is he? Scottish or something like that? I'm giving it all she's got, Captain! That's close. Giving it all she's got! We need more power! And when it comes to salvation, we need more power! We need more power than any of us have. We have no power. We are, the Word of God says in Romans later on chapter 5, it says, when we were without strength, without power, Christ died for us. If you're here this morning, it's because God is drawing you to himself. And he's drawing you to a place where you and I acknowledge, recognize that I have no power in myself to be saved. Or for those of us who know Jesus and are saved, we have no power to keep ourselves saved. It's all him from beginning to end. He's the one who saves mightily. Amen? In fact, we are actually under a power that subdues us and makes us its prisoner. Word of God refers to the sin nature that's within us as a tyrant of some sort, as a ruler over us. It refers to the devil as a ruler over us. And certainly being in this world, there's an element, there's an aspect in which we are under the bondage of and the chains of the world. So we've got a lot of power over us that we cannot break, that we do not have strength to overcome. And certainly we are under the power of sin, Satan, and the world. We cannot get free. It takes a power greater than the power that enslaves us if we are to be saved. Jesus said this in Matthew 12. He said, "How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" And Jesus was essentially saying, I'm the one that's got to plunder the strong man's house. I can do it. Jesus is stronger than the strong man. He is the greater power over that power over us. He is the one that makes what is impossible possible. The gospel makes possible what is impossible, which is your salvation and my salvation. Paul is declaring that the gospel is the power of God that saves. So when we think of power or the demonstrations of power, we might think of something grandiose, something some incredible feat, something mind-blowing, maybe something certainly like a hurricane or a lightning storm, maybe an explosion. We might say that's power. There's an example of power when we think of what's a way of describing or demonstrating power. Maybe on a human scale, we might consider a power lifter or a boxer or a linebacker, somebody with great strength, and we might say that's a demonstration of power when they can lift that, or when they can push those guys around, or when they can take a hit like that. And we might, our thoughts go to examples of power like that. Or maybe in the Bible, we might say, well, certainly the creation of the universe is a demonstration of mighty power. Or we might go to the flood and see the judgment of God in the flood. What a demonstration of mighty power. Or we might even go to the Exodus, where Israel is delivered and they go through the Red Sea. And that was certainly a demonstration of mighty power. And all the other miracles in the Bible, demonstrations of mighty power. I want to suggest to you that one of the greatest demonstrations of the power of God is taking a sinner, turning him into a son. That is a demonstration of the power of God. And when you, as a Christian, walk in faith, in obedience, and when you refuse to go in that direction, and you, in order to stand over here where God wants you to be, when you say no to temptation, when you say no to the influences that are in the world, and we choose to stand with Christ, that is a demonstration of the ongoing power of the gospel in your life. It takes the power of God to save you, and it takes the power of God to keep you. And it is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you and I live in every day when we are living for God. It takes the power of God for you to live for God. Because you and I cannot do it on our own. Amen?
Amen.
It is the explosive power of the gospel that takes a timid person and makes them bold, an arrogant person and makes them humble, a bitter person makes them gracious, a rebellious person makes them a servant, a selfish person makes them selfless, a depressed person makes them rejoice, a weak person and makes them strong, an introvert and makes them a winner of souls, a vacillating person and makes them steadfast, an anxious person makes them confident, an immoral person makes them holy, a dead person and makes them live. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love talking about my brother, as you know. Sometimes he doesn't like it when I talk about him. But, you know, sometimes he talks and he wishes he didn't. Sometimes he talks and I wish he didn't. And sometimes, obviously, I talk and he wishes I wouldn't. But I can't help it. Because what God has done in Josh, some of you, most of you don't remember when he came out. There's a very small handful that would remember or even know. But he was timid. Not a crowds person. In other words, introvert. And God got a hold of him. And preached the gospel on the street corners with a bullhorn. I'm not saying that that's always what boldness looks like. I'm just saying that God can take someone that has no interest whatsoever, please don't ask me to do that type of thing, and then God does something that only God can do. And put the words in. And put the spirit in. To where someone like Josh goes and shares with someone that he would prefer to be on the other side of the street. I don't want to deal with that situation. I don't want to deal with that person. He's had knives drawn on him and things like that. Because he was compelled to go to into a situation that he didn't want to go. But the power of God had gotten a hold of him. See, God continued. Half the room, more than half the room would say, well, I don't like to speak publicly. Please, Pastor, don't ask me to pray out loud. Please don't call me up for it. Well, you know, most of us wouldn't want to. Do you know God, I don't know if he does have a sense of humor. We all know that, right? And then God just like, yeah, I can't wait to get this guy up front. Why? Because that Paul says it. He says it's because then it's the power of God. He says, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the God, knowledge of the God of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of who? God, and not of us. God delights in that. And taking you and I and putting this powerful treasure in the gospel of Jesus Christ so that all can say that it can't possibly be you. It's got to be something else. And that's why we say, you're right, it isn't me. I don't want to be here at all. I certainly don't want to be talking to you. But it's the God that put it in me to talk. You know what I'm saying? It's God. And you know what I think what it comes down to for some of us is this. We just have to give God the opportunity. Just give him the opportunity to release the treasure so that they know it's not you, it's him. We need to quit asking God, please, God, don't send me there. Don't have me talk to that person. Please take away that problem altogether. We need to be asking God, would you help me to be a demonstration of your power to save souls in this situation. Help me not. Forgive me for looking for a release. Forgive me for looking for a way out. Demonstrate your power in me. Give me whatever it is that I need to stick it out, to do it. You know, what is exciting about, or for Paul, is that the gospel of Christ is for everyone. It's for all. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For who? Everyone. For who? Everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. That, in other words, that's just saying the human race. Because there were the Jews and then there was everybody else. Okay? There were the chosen people of God and then there was the Gentiles. And so he said, it's for everyone. Okay? Paul is unashamed to declare that this gospel has power to save anyone. There is no degree of sin, no level of wickedness, no quantity of iniquity that the gospel does not have the power to subdue and overcome. Maybe there's something in your mind that says, well, what about that sin? What about this sin? What about that person? What about this person? The gospel is for everyone. Say everyone again. Everyone. And guess who everyone is? Everyone. And we're all sinners, right? Everyone is a sinner. We've sinned in some way, some of us many ways, but it's for everyone. And Paul is unashamed to declare this. There is no type of sinner beyond the saving power of the gospel of Christ. There might be, and I've heard it said, well, I don't know if God could forgive that. And some live under, I don't know if God forgives, so they live under the burden of the weight of their sin because they don't know if God's forgiveness extends to that. Well, we see this over and over in the scripture that that is not true. That there is no type of sinner beyond the saving power of the gospel of Christ. The gospel saves blasphemers, coveters, thieves, liars, murderers, drunkards, and druggies, idolaters, fornicators, three-time divorcees, four-time, five-time, whatever, homosexuals, adulterers, addicts, abusers, abortionists, atheists, secularists, and religionists, and even Baptists. God's gospel, the gospel of Christ, saves everyone. It has the capacity, the power to save everyone. Amen? Amen? So if you're here this morning, you're not quite sure about your little monopoly of sin that you have in your life, the power of the gospel has enough, more than enough for that, whatever that may be. You are not beyond saving if you are in earshot of this word this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone, but not everyone will be saved. Because this power of God will be exerted fully and completely and only upon everyone who believes. Say believes. Believe. Everyone who believes. The gospel is for all, but only those who believe will experience the power of salvation. Power of the gospel and salvation. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, it reminds us of who it's for. Him, meaning Christ. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Does that leave anyone out? I think it's just for men, by the way, right? It's for everyone. We preach Him to everyone. And there are some, and no doubt, there may be some folks that come into mind. Maybe people that you know, or people that you know of. Oh, that person's got a little special place in hell. Well, maybe the Apostle Paul did too, because he was persecuting and murdering the church of Jesus Christ. And you'd think that, I don't know if they were praying for him or for him to die, but sometimes that's how we pray, right? Save him or get rid of him. Listen, if you believe this morning that you were on your way to hell, and it's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and belief in that gospel that delivered you from that eternal doom. Amen? Not because you had something special to offer. Not because, oh, you got your act together? Oh, you're useful? Oh, you've got, we can do something. No. The gospel is for the sick, not for the healthy. It's for sinners, not for those who think they're righteous. And this is the condition offered to everyone. You must believe. You must believe that you need this gospel. I mean, even just sharing this morning, at least pieces of this, do you acknowledge your need for this? Do you need the gospel? Just believe your need for it. Do you believe that this gospel is the only thing that can save you? You feel that this morning? It's a belief that Jesus died for your sins, died that you might be forgiven, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Do you believe this? And I love this, that the gospel offers a full salvation which encompasses past, present, and future. In other words, from sin's penalty, which is spoken of in chapters 3 and 4, and sin's salvation from sin's power in the present, that's Romans 5 through 7, and then salvation from sin's presence, which is chapter 8 in the future. Salvation has been already given and is now active and eternally secures. Amen? That's a great salvation. That's a powerful salvation. A salvation that that covers the past, present, and future of the one who believes. Hallelujah. Amen? Why would you not want that? And this morning, maybe this is you. Do you feel that you were lost? Do you admit that you were a guilty sinner? There's not one believer in this room that didn't have to come to that place. Because guess what? We're all guilty sinners. Maybe some more than others. That was a joke. We're all equally guilty before the cross, before God. None of us can say, but he's worse than me. That's like one pig in a mud puddle talking about the other pig in the puddle. Well, he's muddier than I am. You're both in the mud. Do you feel the burden of God's righteous sentence? You know, we're all going to face God. All of us. Do you acknowledge that you stand judged and condemned? Have you found in your life that for all of your effort, you cannot make yourself clean? You cannot wash away your iniquity. I know, we've all tried. You just can't quite do it. Do you agree that you were a prisoner in need of a much stronger man to deliver you and set you free? Then this gospel, this power, this salvation is free. It's free because it's by grace that we're saved, but it's through faith. That's why it's for you and will be applied to you if you believe and receive. Amen? Amen. Brethren, that's the gospel that we're unashamed of. It's the gospel we stand on. It's the gospel that shapes us, molds us, transforms us, takes us from what we were to something completely different that we could not do ourselves. Calls us to something that we cannot accomplish unless the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is within us, enabling us through the Holy Spirit. What a life. It's hard. Paul experienced that. Talks about that, but he was not ashamed. Guess what? You and I are not always going to be successful. It's not always going to work, at least from our perspective. Things are going to, we're going to hit stumbling blocks, obstacles. There's, you know, if we're going to live out all out for Jesus, then we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to be mocked. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to be called fools. Whatever it is, if that all of that happens, can you and I still say, but I know it's true. And I'm unashamed of that gospel. Amen? Let's stand. You know, I want to close with this scripture, and then I'll pray. This is out of Hebrews chapter 2, and it speaks of Christ, who says this: He, meaning Jesus, is not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't that amazing? Do you think you and I have done plenty of things to embarrass Jesus? He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Let us not be ashamed to call him brother. He's our older brother. He's our King and Lord. He's our Savior. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that it is the power of the gospel of Jesus and belief in it that saves. Thank you that you have sent your Son to accomplish within us something that we could never, ever do on our own. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you. We pray, Lord, that this word, that you would take this word, speak to their hearts. And may they have that conversation with you and receive your gift of salvation and be saved. Thank you, God, for this time. Lead us as we go, and may we go in boldness and confidence and assurance that you are not ashamed of us. Lord, we want to confess we are not ashamed of you. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Amen. All God's people said. Amen. Let's put our hands together. Praise the Lord.